Good morning and welcome. I encourage you to grab your Bible, whether in printed form or in digital form. Turn to Acts chapter 17. We're going to look at a couple of verses there, verses 24 down to verse 26. In this message that I've titled Redemption in the Blood of Jesus. In this series of two messages, the Power of the Blood, sermons on life and power of the gospel. I based it on a book that I read many, many years ago by Martin Dehan called The Chemistry of the Blood. I want to share this with you as we look at truly the redemption in the blood of Jesus. The life is in the blood, flowing, touching, uniting every cell, and redemption is in the blood. Nourishing, cleansing, overcoming, building immunities. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24 down to verse 26, where the Apostle Paul is in Athens and he's on Mars Hill and he's given a message there to the philosophers, to the thinkers of Greece. And he said this, Acts chapter 17, verse 24, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. The one thing which unites all men and relates them to one another is the blood that flows through their veins. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Adam was formed from dust. He was a lump of clay without life. God breathed into his nostrils and he became alive. Life is in the blood. So God added blood when he breathed in him. Adam's body, his flesh, came from the earth, but his blood was provided directly from God. All men are of one blood. And it's the blood of Adam, the first man of humans. It's not Eve's blood which flows in mankind's veins, but Adam's. That's why it's Adam's sin and not Eve's sin that we inherit. Sin is in the blood and is transmitted in the blood of man, not the flesh. Life is in the blood, and the wage of sin is death. Sin affected the blood of Adam and caused him to die. Because sin is a disease of the blood, it can be cured only by application of sinless blood. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Just as the first Adam's sin corrupted the blood of the entire human family, it is the pure, sinless blood of the last Adam which makes atonement for the whole world's sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Eve's sin does not affect us, even though she sinned before Adam did. It was the sin of Adam which brought death on the whole of mankind. Why? Because it is Adam's blood which transmits sin. We're not called the seed of the woman, but Adam's seed. Only Jesus is called the seed of the woman, because he was born of a woman and was without one single drop of human blood in his veins. Adam didn't contribute his blood to Jesus. One drop of it would have made him a sinner. There is only one cure for sin, sinless blood. There's only one source of sinless blood, the sinless Son of God. From Genesis to Revelation, we have the message of the atoning blood. The Old Testament presented types in the Lamb of blood, in the blood of lambs and goats slain in the sacrifice rituals. God planned for a perfect lamb. His law demanded justice and death for the sinner, not mercy. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 tells us that the soul who sinned shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Yet when God gave Moses the tablets of the law on Mount Sinai, he also gave him the plans for the tabernacle and the altar and the blood. Justice demanded sinners must die. Mercy provided life by the blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blood of bulls and goats could not atone for sin, as it was corrupted itself and decayed. The blood shed on Calvary is imperishable. In fact, every drop of blood which flowed in Jesus' veins is still in existence, spiritually speaking, as fresh as it was then. The bloody sweat in Gethsemane, the blood on his beaten back, the blood from the crown of thorns, the blood from his nail wounds, the blood from his speared side. In Psalm 16, verse 10, David said, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Picture the high priest and the blood of the sacrifice. Now picture Jesus making his blood offering from his own sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. "Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of sacrifice. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Picture the priests offering sacrifices for sin again and again and again, never allowed to sit down, for the job was never done. There was no chair in the tabernacle or the temple. There was no need for one. And now see Jesus in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 14. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is incorruptible, eternal, divine, sinless, overcoming, and it shall never lose its power. God told Israel, and he tells us today in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, when the redeemed are seen singing in heaven, they're singing, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and peoples and nation. Luke chapter 1. Let's go over to Luke. Read a familiar story. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 all the way down to 38. Very familiar story that we read at Christmas. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will receive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the throne of God will the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And then if you go over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, down to verse 23, we see the angel, he's got work to do. He goes from Mary and he goes over to Joseph. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Listen, the Bible clearly teaches the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We just read it. The record can be rejected, but the fact of the teaching cannot be ignored. Scripture teaches that Jesus was conceived in the womb of a virgin mother by an act of the Holy Spirit, apart from any human father. There is no doubt that is the teaching, whether it's accepted or rejected, that is the teaching. The Bible also teaches that Jesus was sinless. All men from Adam to today are born with his sin nature and are subject to the curse and eternal death. Jesus was without sin and theoretically could not die until he took the sin of others on himself and died their death. Romans chapter 1, verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Sin is transmitted through the blood, not through the flesh. Let me take you, like last time, on another biology tour regarding the blood, human blood. This information that I'm going to share is based on three books, three old but accurate books, biologically. Howell's textbook of physiology, William's practice of obstetrics, and Zabriskie's Nurse's Handbook of Obstetrics. The message from these books is this. The blood which flows in an unborn baby's arteries does not begin with the mother. An unfertilized ovum can never produce blood because it does not contain the basic elements essential for production of blood. In fact, there is no life in the egg until the male contribution is made. The life is in the blood. Again, Leviticus 17:11 states the life of the flesh is in the blood. The mother provides all the nutrition for the developing unborn child, but the blood is provided by the father at conception. Not a single drop of blood passes from mother to child. The placenta is made so that nutrition is given to the child and waste is removed. All the blood is made within the child itself. The mother is not part of that process in any way. The blood of the unborn child and the blood of the mother never come in contact. If by some issue they do, it can be catastrophic for life, for both the mother and the child. Our God is an awesome God. So amazing. Jesus received his flesh from his mother, and sin is not in the flesh. Jesus received his blood supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, and that blood is sinless. This is the simple, scientific, and biological reason for the sinlessness of Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Wait a minute. That verse seems to contradict this whole message that I've been delivering. Well, no. The word translated partaken is the Greek word koinoneho, which means to share fully. The word translated took part is matecho, which means to take part but not all, i.e. the flesh but not the blood, the ovum, the egg only. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 4, then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent. He didn't say an innocent man. He said, by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is to us? You see to it. You know, what is the historical blood donor slogan? Give the gift of life. The greatest blood transfusion occurs when a sinner receives the incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ. When a pint of blood is given, it's placed in a blood bank. The plan is to keep enough of every type of blood. There was a blood bank opened 2,000 years ago with the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. And that blood bank is never depleted, regardless of how many sinners become believers. It matches everyone. It's free. It's delivered by the Holy Spirit, and it must be received by faith. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let me ask you, have you been washed in that precious blood? If not, you're still under the curse with the eternal death penalty on you. To be saved is to be justified by the blood. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Is Jesus your Savior? Is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your Savior? Are you saved? Have you come to the place in your life where you realize that you're a sinner, that you deserve God's death penalty in hell for punishment? Did you come to the place where you believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood, that precious sinless blood, for you, in your place, to pay the death penalty for your sin? And He rose from the dead. And did you confess that? You believe that? And did you ask for forgiveness and reach out and ask Him? Confessing your sin, asking for forgiveness and eternal life. For God's word says that all or whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? Is Jesus your Savior? Because that precious blood, that blood of Jesus Christ, that sinless, incorruptible blood was shed for you and for me. It's given to us, the benefit of it, by God, and we have to receive it by faith. Have you received it? If not, you can do it now. All you have to do is acknowledge your sin and ask God to forgive you. confess that you're a sinner. Acknowledge that you believe that He died for you on Calvary's cross. Paid the penalty for your sin, was victorious over death, and can give you victory over death for eternal life. Would you do that today? Would you reach out and ask Him to be your Savior? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of your word. Thank you that we can see that while life is in the blood, both physically and spiritually, that redemption from sin and sin's penalty is also in the blood, in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, I just pray that everyone that's listening to or watching this message would be convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you would give them grace to act upon that conviction, to confess their sins, and to ask for forgiveness, that they might have eternal life rather than an eternal death in hell for sin. Father, just thank you and praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You think on all that, you do some business with God, and you have a great day.